Morning, church. Okay, let's try that one again. Goeiemôre. Yay. Oh, give me 1 second. I think we need an icebreaker. Wie's reg vir 'n grappie? Okay, there we go. Oh, cool. Another one, yeah. No. Okay, so there was this married couple, right? And they were arguing. We all know this one. And the woman was saying that the man should make the coffee in the morning. And she said, it's in the Bible. And the husband's like, yeah, okay, where does that stand? And she opened the Bible, said, right here in Hebrews. Okay, there we go. Everybody's awake now. If we can go to the next slide there. Guys, I just want to thank my family, thank all my friends that are here. I really appreciate it. And all of you in the body, you guys are my family, spiritual family, physical family. Just to be here for the education of our little boy. It's such a privilege to have you guys, and it's even such a privilege to be able to minister this morning. But you know, we all, like this guy over here, we have these multiple lives that we have to live, all these things we have to juggle, you know, from work to social life, to family life, to church life. We have all these different jobs and descriptions and things that we need to do. And this life has become so busy and crazy that sometimes we've actually lost focus of what is our true goal? What is the true purpose? What did the Lord intend? What did He ask us to do in this world? And according to the Bible, if we can go to the next verse there, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, that ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. Now, the core job description or the core thing there is being witnesses. Now, you might ask yourself, well, witnesses of what? And even there, Jesus says we need to be witnesses of Him. What He has done in our lives, what He has shown us, what He is continuing to do for us. And then you might ask, well, to whom do we need to witness? You know? And once again, if we can go to the next slide. If you look at Israel, such a small country, it's literally 150 kilometers from the top to the bottom. Mini little place, and you can't imagine that the whole globe is fought around this small piece of little real estate. But that is where God decided to manifest Himself and use these people as an example for us. So the scripture talks about Jerusalem, which is in the middle. And then it talks about Judea, which is the province. And then Samaria, which is probably like our mutual's plan. The place you don't really want to go. And then it says the uttermost part of the earth. So who's Jerusalem? Jerusalem is our neighbor. Jerusalem is the city, the people around us, closest to us. Judea, people in the Western Cape and the rest of South Africa, Samaria, the places that we generally don't want to go. And then, like Retief and them talking about missions, going out to other countries and being a blessing to those people. Now, how do we combine all of these things? How do we fuse this together? Because firstly, we've got these busy lives, we've got all these things going on. How do we bring it together? How do we actually become witnesses within that busy life? And guys, the one I want to talk to you about, there's obviously there's many, many ways, and the Bible is full of it, but the one I want to highlight this morning is loving your neighbor through prayer. Guys, we need to love the people around us. Love is the glue that keeps the society together. Imagine if love was removed from society. What would happen? You know, it would be absolute chaos and carnage. Love is the glue. If we can go to the next verse. It's one of my favorite. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son so that everyone who believes in Him may not die but have eternal life. I just love it when prayer this morning, when offering message, when worship, when everything starts linking in. You heard this verse from Hoffi earlier. It's on God's heart. The next verse, also a favorite one. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not jealous, nor conceited or proud. Love is not ill-mannered or selfish or irritable. Love does not keep a record of wrongs. Love is not happy with evil, but is happy with the truth. Love never gives up, and its faith, hope, and patience never fails. Guys, it's all about love. Without love, it doesn't matter what you do, it's not going to work. But how do we bring prayer into this? If we go to the next verse. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will, and all the wisdom and spiritual understanding. It's so important to pray for each other. It's so important to uplift each other. And that's one of the core tools that the Lord has given us, is to be able to pray for each other. Now, why pray? Why is this such an important thing? Firstly, prayer changes your agenda. Because what happens is when you start praying for someone else, the focus shifts from me and all my things to someone else. The next thing that happens is prayer changes our outlook. All of a sudden, we start seeing people in a very different light. You start being attuned. You start seeing what the needs are. And then prayer changes your environment. I'm sure all of us have been in this example where maybe you were in a family dinner or a business meeting that just something chaotic started happening there. And just either just in the inside, or you just go to the bathroom or something and you just, yada, help, Lord, just SOS. And when you come back, all of a sudden, you can just sense a peace starts coming into the situation. Peace comes into the room. That's how incredible it is. So what am I really trying to tell you guys? Love your neighbor by starting to pray for them. But also, by keep building a relationship and being in fellowship with them. So now you might ask, well, go to the next slide. Fellowship. Well, why is that important? Well, firstly, we were created for it. That was our prime directive. Firstly, with God, because he said in Genesis 3:8, God walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. He had a personal relationship with them, and he still has with us today. And we need to have relationships with each other. We can't be isolated, you know, one man, one woman on the island. It's not going to work. In Acts 2, verse 42, it says, they spent their time in learning from the apostles, taking part in the fellowship and sharing in the fellowship meals and in prayers. So basically, they just spend time together. That's it. It's not a difficult, crazy, complicated thing. It's just spending time with people through a meal, through just being with them. And you know, once you get to know someone, once you've built a relationship with someone, then you're able to identify where they actually are. You start seeing through all the facades, start seeing through all the barriers that might have been put up, all the protective measures that people put up. You start seeing past these things. If we can go to the next slide. So obviously there's spiritual levels. There's different levels, there's different gears that we find ourselves in, different parts of the journey that we find ourselves in. And something we need to be careful of is, and I do this quite often, is you all know Christianese. Have you all spoken that every now and then? Where you start using jargon or languages that people don't understand, you know, like salvation, fellowship even is one of those, you know, sanctification, gospel, yeah. And some people that they're not in that environment, they don't hear these words, they're like, oh, what do you, you know, what are these guys talking about? So we need to be able to communicate that people can understand. It doesn't have to be this complex thing. You don't have to, you know, when you become a Christian, you need a dictionary with all these words you need to know. It's not about that. If we can go to the next verse in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1 to 2, it says, in a matter of fact, my brother and sister, I could not talk to you as I talk to people who have the Spirit. I had to talk to you as though you belong to this world, as children in the Christian faith. I had to feed you with milk, not solid food, because you were not ready for it. And even now, you are not ready for it. We can have the next slide there. You know, yeah. You know, this happens. Sometimes we, you know, maybe we're at a place where we're so passionate about what God has done in our lives, and we just want to go in there. And then you have people out there that you can't give them that immediately. You can't share certain things immediately because it's just not going to make sense. It's just not going to, you know, they're just going to like, you know, get me out of here. if we can get to the next verse there. So let's get practical. I like what Ratif said. I like practical. So how do we actually do this thing? How do we do it? Guys, through love. Love, 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 love. Mark 12, verse 30 to 31. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Second to this, love your neighbor as you love yourself. There is no commandments greater than these. Guys, it all starts with loving your neighbor as you love yourself. If you don't love yourself, then that's probably the first place you need to start. We need to get to a place where you can accept yourself, where you know God loves you. He's got a plan and purpose for you, and then it's easy for you just to start loving other people. If we can go to the next slide there quickly. So just a quick disclaimer. We're not trying to label anybody. We're not trying to put anybody in a box. I'm just trying to identify certain stages, certain gears, certain parts of our journey that we might find ourselves in. And the idea here is to identify where we are so that we know exactly how can we pray for that person to be able to progress to the next step. We don't want to get stagnated. We don't want to, we've never arrived. We've never sort of like, I'm here now, I can chill out. We're never there. We're always growing. We always need to become closer to what God wants us. We need to become more like Jesus. That is the prime directive. That's why he created us. Now, I like to call it the ABCs. I'm just quickly going to run through these guys. Apathetic. These are generally, I don't know, don't care, don't talk to me about it, leave me alone. We all know those type of people that we have in our midst. And then you have the beginning to search. Don't know the answers, but you know, I'm looking for something, and you know, I might have some weird idea about, you know, how things are working. The searching for truth. Then you have the confessing. These are people that believe in Jesus, but you would never know it. Then you've got the developing. So these are committed guys. These are guys who are church every week, cell group, you know, they do their thing, they're growing, spend time on the word. And then you've got the excelling. And then these are your sold out, the guys that are just next level. In Afrikaans, you call it the groot Christen. Yeah, we've all heard this before. But you guys know that there's nothing like that. We're always growing. We're always getting to that. We need to become more like Jesus. Now, wherever you spend time, wherever you find yourself, whether it's gym, work, social club, soccer field, wherever you are, wherever you find yourself, you are surrounded by people and you're building relations with these people. You are getting to know them. And once you get to know them, once you've built that relationship, then you can start identifying where they are. And now I just want to show you guys just a few tools that's worked for me. This is something that I've been practicing in my life, and it's just amazing to see the fruit that's come of that. And this is just, I want to share with you guys. How to pray for them. So, if we can go to the next slide. The apathetic. Firstly, guys, just love them. Love them, love them, love them. Once again, love your neighbor as yourself. Matthew 22, verse 39. And all you need to do, pray that they will start seeking. Pray that they will start searching. Pray for an awareness of the Lord. That's it. Don't try and hit them with a Bible and try and drag them to church. Don't go crazy. Just love them and pray that they will start seeking. That's it. Stay right there. Quick testimony. When I was working in Jordania on a boat there, there was a Canadian deacon that worked with me. And when I met this guy, difficult character. To share a cabin with this guy, I was in this guy's face 24/7, and he made quite clear to me about, you know, don't talk to me about anything. And I just realized I had to love this guy. I just had to respect him. I had to work hard with him. I had to be his brother without him wanting me to be. And, you know, after 6 months, he actually resigned his commission, thankfully not due to me, but He had such anxiety and fear about the future. He was like, oh, what am I going to do next? I don't know. And he was kind of like spinning out a little bit. And I said, listen here, bro, can I pray for you? And he sort of looked at me. He's like, okay. Prayed, and I just prayed for God's peace to come on him. Prayed that the Lord will just show him what to do next. And, you know, if I did that 6 months ago, he probably would have hit me, or he would have just walked away, or something like that. But because of that relationship, because of that respect we had for him, the opportunity was able to happen. If we can go to the next slide. Beginning to search. Guys, be very careful. You need to love these people so much, but you can't get into theological discussions or arguments about perspective or even the word about them, because there might be all sorts of different thought patterns and things going on, and all that you're going to do is you're going to ruin the relationship. Guys, once again, you need to love them. You need to love them, love them, love them. And as you love them, you start realizing there's a need. The only reason people start to search is because they're looking for something. So there's a need. What is the need in their lives? And then pray that God will supernaturally meet that need. Pray that God would show you how to meet the need. You know, sometimes it's easy to like, oh, this guy needs bread. And you're like, oh, pray for bread. But actually, you can just go to the shop and buy bread and give it to him and bless the guy. Sometimes it's not that difficult. The Lord uses us as tools. So I want to encourage you guys. Galatians 6 verse 2 says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Matthew 10 verse 8, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. So guys, once they've realized that, wow, God actually did something in my life, a need was met, you'll see all of a sudden opportunities arise where people are open for discussions, open to join you, open to build a deeper friendship and deeper relationship. And then you need to walk a road with these people. You can't just, okay, cheers, off you go. You need to walk a road with them. Continue in love. Just a quick testimony there. When I worked in Plettenberg Bay as a youth worker, we used to do these little surf trips. We would meet kids in the water, surf for them, and you just build friendships with them. And then we would do these little surf trips where we'd take them to like a different break. And in that time, we just trust the Lord for opportunities to pray for them and just to encourage them. A lot of these kids also, they're so lost in terms of all sorts of weird and wonderful ideas about the world or just nothing at all. And, you know, it's all about the next wave. And I remember we went Cape St. Francis, and long story short, I had a shark circle me a couple of times. And afterwards, thankfully nothing happened. I've still got all my limbs. Afterwards, the first thing the kid asked, like, okay, listen here, if you were eaten by the shark, how was I going to get home? And all of a sudden, they just gave an opportunity to talk about, well, you know, what happens if I die? What happens when you die? It was just an opportunity. And that specific child, oh, it's amazing, you know, ended up walking a road with him, got saved. She's, I don't know, about 5 or 6 years later, he actually had a prophetic word for me that I believe it saved my life. Story for another day. It just shows you how incredible it is. Another testimony, I had a neighbor, a Zimbabwean guy. He's an artist. So it's also all over the show, a lot of questions. And just loved him, you know. Would invite him for meals, would help him when his car got stuck, would help him carry stuff up the 3 flights of stairs. And in that, we just built a friendship. And through that, he started releasing me with information, with things I could pray for, his family, the difficult times he's going through, the challenges he has. And the opportunity came where I could invite him, where he was open to come to soul with us. He was open to come to church with us. He was open for me to pray for him. Guys, so it's all about being there for the people, being practical, not labeling someone. You're better than someone. We're better than no one. Better than no one. We need to be there for each other. The next slide. So this is the complex one. The confessing Christians. People that know Jesus. You know, maybe their parents were Christians, and by default they feel, well it makes us one as well. You know, they, all their neighbors are maybe doing the same thing, so oh, we'll just do the same thing. It's maybe not a real, they haven't really experienced, they don't really understand it, or they might be in a place where they got hurt. All of us have been hurt by other Christians. Probably the worst kind of hurt comes from other brothers, other believers. And guys, this happens. Church is like a hospital. We're all sick and we all need repair. No one's perfect. So there is going to be offenses. There is going to be hurt. But you know, these people, you just have to love them. Even though you might never know that they were a Christian, and by accident you find out. How do we pray for them? Pray for a new cause. We pray for a new challenge in their life. But guys, unfortunately, there is a rebuke in the Bible. And it's always difficult sharing these things, but you have to, because it's real, it's written. In Revelations, the Lord says, "So because you're lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth." This is hardcore, guys, but because of this, we can just pray for a new cause, a new flame. This morning in the prayer came out about a flame, an ignition. And there's also talking about ashes, forgetting about the old. Forget about where you were, what you did. It's all about getting to that place where the Lord wants you, being more like Christ. Just a quick testimony there. I had this, I've been part of this business networking organization for the last 2 years. And I've got this accountant there, and we had a meeting. And you know, in all my business meetings, I sort of asked the Lord, yes, how can I come into this meeting? Give me a gap. I might drop some words and see what happens. And all of a sudden, I realized, wow, this guy's actually he's a Christian. He's going to church. And because of that, I would never have thought this guy was a Christian, to be honest. And that's partially because of my own weakness in maybe I labeled him. But I would never have known. And in that meeting, I was able to pray for him. And I was able to prophesy for him. I had a word for this guy. And you could just see all of a sudden his eyes were glittering again. He was like excited to go to church next week. And there was just that little oomph going to the next gear. If you can go to the next slide. I'm just going to run quickly through these last two. You're developing disciples. You know, these are the people that are committed. They do all the right moves. You know, they're church, spirit-filled, committed. We just need to pray for them that they can keep being influencers, that they can keep getting to a deeper obedience of what God has for them. In Colossians 1:10, it says, "So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increase in the knowledge of God." If we can go to the next slide. And the excelling E. Guys, this is sort of, we need to try and get to this place. This isn't, you haven't arrived when you get here. You can't chill out when you get here. It's all about becoming more like Jesus. And you guys know, if you've met someone and you've seen, you don't see that guy, you see Jesus. That's where we want to be. That's where we want to be. It's not about the person. It's not about reaching some level. It's not about being better than anybody else. It's being more like Jesus. And how is Jesus? Jesus was a servant to this world. Jesus, like Ritesh said, Jesus went low. Not under the radar, but He went low in terms of a place of humility. But guys, how do we pray for these guys? You think like, oh, it's like, what can you pray for them? And it says there in 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18, "All of us then reflect the glory of the Lord with uncovering faces, and then some glory comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit transforming us into His likeness. An even greater degree of glory." So guys, that just talks about being more like Jesus. But also, you need to encourage them. You need to love these people. You know, sometimes they feel isolated. Scripture, it's not up there, in Acts 28:15, it says, "The believers in Rome heard about us, and they came as far as the towns of Market of Aphius, and 3 inns to meet us. When Paul saw them, he thanked God and was greatly encouraged. So even Apostle Paul, all the amazing things that he did, how powerfully this guy walked with the Lord. He was so encouraged by people just coming to visit him. So guys, don't think of these people as on a pedestal. Build relationships with them. Build friendships with them. Learn from them. You can just go to that next slide. So guys, just very, 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 very basically, you need to love them. Pray for them. Build a relationship. And what's the idea? Jack at work or Joe at the gym. Pray that they would move one gear up. Don't try and, you know, drag them to the end goal. Try and just get them to move to one place. And you'll see, once you start praying for someone who's apathetic and he starts seeking, wow, your faith is going to go like this. Your own faith is going to ignite. And it's going to be like, oh, who can I pray for next? Once you see the Lord working, and guys, that's a practical way. All of us can do it. No one is disqualified from praying. If I can get the worship team to come up, it's bad enough. Guys, the question we have here today is, if we can go to the next slide. How do we bring this into our busy lives? So I've given you guys some strategies that's worked for me in the past and some testimonies that I've seen this actually work. And for this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, bearing fruit in every good work and increase in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Guys, this is where we want to be. We want to be in that place where we're continually growing and we can continually bear fruit and give us fruit to the people around us. It's not about being better than anybody. It's not about labeling anybody. It's not about feeling judged or feel like, oh, yes, I'm nowhere. But you know, it's important. Sometimes we've got to ask these questions. Where are we spiritually? You've got to seriously go, where am I spiritually? Where am I in this journey? Am I stuck in first gear? Am I maybe stuck in third gear? So guys, firstly identify where we are. Identify where you are. Commit to move to the next level. Commit to grow if you've been stagnating. Identify the sphere of influence, the people around you. So guys, it's not necessarily the oaks on the other side of the country. It could be the people in your own home. It could be the guy at gym. It could be the guy at work. And love them. Love them, love them, love them. Love is the glue. It always starts with love. And then start to pray for them. Because then the focus gets removed from all of your busy lives to someone else. And see the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit work in their lives. And that is going to catapult you to the next level. I truly believe that. Once you start seeing God's power, you realize, bam! So guys, who can identify with any of the ABCs? Who knows? We've all been there. We might be stuck at one particular place. We haven't moved for 10 years. If I can just have everybody standing. And I'm sure all of us have, as we've heard this, we've realized there's maybe someone in our family, someone in our close friendship, someone that's in our surrounds that we know we need to start praying for them. You've already, this maybe a name dropped into your mind that you need to start praying for them. Your focus needs to shift from what's going on with us to maybe to that person. There's a need. And now we can be attuned to how do we pray for them? How do we get them to move? The next one. So guys, I'm just going to lead us in a prayer. And I just, if you guys don't mind, everybody pray with me. Don't want to, it's fine, but just as a corporate body, I just feel this is really something for all of us. Lord Jesus, Lord, thank you that you love us. Lord Jesus, thank you that we can love our neighbor like we love ourselves. Lord Jesus, show us who we can start praying for. Lord, and give us the patience and long-suffering to pray for them. To love them. To have fellowship with them. And see your Holy Spirit work in their lives. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, thank you for this morning. I just want to also just give an opportunity. If there's anybody that's you might think, oh, just I'm seeing all these things. None of these words make sense to me, but your heart's going like this. That is the Holy Spirit prompting you. That is the Holy Spirit. That is Jesus drawing you closer to Him. And He wants to get to know you better. He wants to build that relationship with you. And He wants to bring people around you that can walk that road with you. So guys, afterwards, myself and Retief, we're going to be here. If that was you, come to us. Let us pray for you. Let us pray that you can make a decision for Jesus today. And guys, if you feel you've been stuck in a gear, and it's been a long, long time, and you need to move to the next gear, start praying. Start praying for others. Just know, we also have, if you just feel you want us just to really encourage you into that place where you can move. Afterwards, you can come pray with us. Lord Jesus, thank you for this morning, Lord. Thank you for what you've done, Lord. Thank you just for your word, Lord. Thank you that we know that your love is the glue. We know that your love for us trumps all. Lord Jesus, thank you that no strategy, no sort of opinions, no formulas is going to do the work. Only your love that you have for us and that we need to give to others, Lord. I just want to thank you for that, Lord. Just bless each and every person, Lord. Thank you that in this week still, you're going to initiate us to become prayer warriors, to become outwardly focused for the people around us. Show us, identify these things that we need to pray for, Lord, and ask that we will diligently do it as we build a relationship with Him. In your precious name, Lord. Amen.